Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that enlightens us and enlivens our spirit. We pray that as we come to it now, you would speak to us from that word that we might better be equipped to serve Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Would you like to be seated, please? I wonder, when was the last time you were really moved by something? A number of people were quite moved last night with the events going on around the fire at St Andrews. And there were many phone calls backwards and forwards, and you might continue to pray for the congregation there as they come to terms with what went on. But I wonder if you can recall a time when you were moved by something. You might have been moved to tears. You might have been moved to anger. You might have been moved deep down at a gut level. What was it that so moved you? Sometimes it might be a sad movie or a news item about some injustice or disaster. Or it might be some sort of personal tragedy. Whatever it was that you faced, it's often just such situations that not only move us emotionally, but that also spur us on to do something about that original situation that took us there. Well, just such an occasion or an occurrence is recorded for us in today's gospel reading, where Jesus sees a great need and is deeply moved by it. But he also uses this opportunity to teach his disciples, and through the scriptures and the gospel account, to teach us as well. But Jesus uses the opportunity to teach some very important things about what it means to follow him, to belong to the kingdom of God. Jesus points out to them the problem that faces the world and the church. He then presents the same situation not as a problem but as a possibility or a challenge for his followers to go and do something about it. In the midst of all of that, he demonstrates the importance of prayer in his response. And then he shows how the answer to that prayer is going to come through their participation in Jesus' own ministry. Problem, possibility, prayer, and participation. It's not often that I can get an alliteration to work. I was quite pleased this week, very chuffed with myself. So Jesus points out the problem, shows how it's a possibility, instructs them on the need for prayer, and then invites them into participation. In verse 36 of today's gospel reading, it says that Jesus had compassion on the crowds when he saw their need. Here is a situation of Jesus being deeply moved as he acknowledges the real state and the spiritual plight of those around him. The word that's used in this gospel account is not a common one in the New Testament. It's an interesting sort of word. It picks up the idea that Jesus was moved to his guts. It's as if he'd been hit in the solar plexus. Such was the depth of his compassion at the deep needs that he saw for the crowds around him. Certainly, we're told that Jesus had just been healing them of all sorts of diseases and infirmities. So they had lots of physical needs as well. But this is not the real need which Jesus sees that hits him so dramatically. What he sees is that the crowds were people harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Their real need is their spiritual poverty. What they really needed was the good news of the kingdom of God, which we're also told Jesus had been going about everywhere preaching. His assessment of the situation also points to the bankruptcy of the spiritual leadership of his day. They weren't adequately fulfilling their assigned role as shepherds of the people. Jesus sees that the people are harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherds. The challenge for us, I think, if we're truly following Christ as Lord, is whether or not we are similarly moved by the problem of the world around us. Do we recognise their true plight as being harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd? Do we see the great spiritual need of the world around us of seeing and hearing the gospel of Jesus? Are we also distressed at the all too common failure of those in spiritual leadership to offer true spiritual oversight? Are we moved deep down in our inner being, moved to our guts like Jesus was, as we see the problem facing the crowds who haven't accepted the good news of the kingdom? Jesus was genuinely moved by these things. But it was also a situation that was used by him and the author of the gospel as an example for those who follow Jesus that they should follow him in this matter too. Like Jesus, we need to recognise the real problem which faces the world around us. But Jesus doesn't leave his followers there. Just as he's been deeply moved by something, and just as when we are deeply moved by something, it often drives us on further to do something about it, so too with Jesus. By switching from one agricultural image to another agricultural image, Jesus leads the disciples to see this situation not only as a problem, but also as a great possibility. The problem of harassed and helpless sheep in need of shepherding into the kingdom of God is now presented as the possibility of a great and plentiful harvest. So he switches from the agricultural imagery of sheep and shepherds to another imagery of harvest fields and harvesters. In John's Gospel, John's account of this incident, Jesus is recorded as saying that the fields are ripe for harvest. But wherever this great possibility is mentioned and presented to us, we also have the record of the statement that the workers or labourers in the harvest fields are few. Throughout history, that's always been the case. There have always been more people in need of hearing the good news of Jesus than there are Christian folk to bring that good news to them. Sadly, many of the labourers haven't joined in the harvest, probably because they haven't been so moved like Jesus was by the great problem of the crowds, nor recognised the great possibility that it presents. Well, it's only after pointing out the problem and showing his disciples the real possibility that Jesus gives any specific instructions about what to do. And the first thing he says to do is to pray. The most important response to any situation is prayer to God. Here the instruction is to pray to God as the Lord of the harvest, the one whose harvest it really is. I think that helps us to keep the whole issue in perspective. We're reminded that though the task seems immense, it's God who desires it, it's God who's so moved by the plight of the world, and it's God who has the task under his control and who can be trusted to bring this plentiful harvest to completion. But the prayer to God is that he might send out labourers, that he would accomplish his harvest by sending out men and women as labourers into his harvest fields, that he would send people who've recognised the problem and seen the great possibility and are so moved to do something about it. By placing the story of the mission of the 12 disciples in chapter 10, straight after these verses in chapter 9, Matthew shows that those who were told to pray became the answer to their own prayer. They were sent out as a participation or an extension of Jesus' own ministry. The way the description is worded in verse 1 of chapter 10 makes it very clear that what Jesus had been doing, they were now to go and do as well. Jesus gives them his authority so that they might participate in his mission, that they might become the labourers that he told them to pray for. As is so often the case, when we pray, God uses us to answer our own prayers. And this will be the case here too, as it was for the disciples. As we pray for labourers to be sent out to carry on God's harvest around us, he'll begin to use us as those labourers, as we participate in the great harvest that Jesus began. But are we ready for such participation? In many ways, it's a bit of a frightening challenge that this passage brings to us. But we need to remember that such participation grows out of prayer to the one who is Lord of the harvest. He is the one who will show us the great possibility that awaits in his plentiful harvest. But all of that can really only become a reality as we follow our Lord's example and are moved to our guts by the deep problem that faces the crowds around us, who, without the good news of the kingdom, are people that we see as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd.